Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is March 27, 2024. Welcome to today's show. Did that shut off? Let's see. It's spinning. It should shut off. There we go. Okay. Sorry about that. Didn't know why it didn't shut off. I've got Terry Harlan here. Terry is a middle and high school teacher and administrator for over 20 years. Okay, but he spent the last 5 years working directly with students on SAT and ACT prep. And he's done a darn good job, and he's published some stuff on it. He's with a company. I don't know if it's his company or if it's he's working with somebody called, I'll find out from him, AstoundingScore.com. And I wanted to get him on here because it's an equity challenge, okay, especially since COVID, SATs, college admissions. You all know what's going on with all that, and I want to talk about him with Terry. So without further ado, let me bring him on. Good morning, Terry. It's Larry here. How you doing?
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, my friend. Where are you today?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's warmer weather than here in Maine where I am. What you doing there? I thought you were from Georgia.
That's what I
thought you were
going to
say Georgia.
Yeah. Well, I am in transition from Atlanta to Phoenix, so I'm going from nice warm weather to that at the moment nice warm weather, but it's about to get a little hotter here.
It is.
So
next move is to the sun or Venus, I assume.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's.
Sorry, I can't resist. I'm a Mainer. We like snow. What can I tell you?
Yeah, what is that called? What do you
yeah,
call it?
I'm from Maine.
Snow?
I'm from Maine. Yeah. We like snow.
Snow is...
Everybody's racing to the heat. I like snow. But I'm glad you're in Phoenix, man. Okay. I want to ask you, I brought it up with the introduction here. Astounding Score, you know, that's your company, right?
That is. It is, yes.
Yeah. I didn't have down that you were the president of it or all that sort of thing. I just wanted to make sure that I got that right to it. I have it linked here. It's Astounding Score. com. You're really helping kids do better in their SATs, and things have changed with the SATs and all that sort of stuff. And how'd you get involved in SAT prep? What kind of teacher were you? What did you do for 20 years in education?
So I taught mostly social studies, which is not exactly the most. Awesome. And it's not the most common route to teaching SAT, but I did tutored on the side. And the last school I taught at was a high school in which they had their own in-house test prep program. I learned a lot from that, but what I also learned was that a lot of those in-house programs just don't work. You've got a lot of teachers who are not prepared to deal with the material. You have music teachers teaching math. You have English teachers teaching English, but they're teaching English based on their own, their own standards, their own beliefs of how kids should learn English, which is the SAT and ACT, as most people know, is a problem-solving test which uses English and math to gauge how kids do on this stuff. But it's based on a lot of tricks and tactics and stuff to fool kids, and you need a lot of tricks and tactics to do well on the test. So doing well on the test means that you know how to do well on the test. It doesn't mean that you're a great English student or a great math student.
Right.
It just means that
you know
how to do well on the test. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So,
and that's actually, I'll tell you, I've never been a fan of any of these tests. I shouldn't say SATs, but any of these tests. And I did terrible on them way back when. Okay, 10,000 years ago. In fact, it was just called the SAs then because the T letter hadn't been invented yet. It's so long ago. But yeah, I got to tell you, did absolutely horrible on them, and then I got all A's and B's in college. Okay,
yeah,
and
so.
In my case, it was not a measure of anything. What you just said is true. It's how you, all it's measuring is how you take that test. Okay.
That's right.
And I relate that to what's called these days equitable grading. And I always think about, you know, if a kid gets an F in a quiz leading up to a full exam on it, and they get an A on the exam, should the F even matter? Okay. And that's basically what we're talking about here. Okay. They got an A on the final exam. Why does the F even matter? Okay, because they obviously learned and fixed it all up. It's the same thing here. Well, oh, you do 12 years of work in school, get all A's and B's, and do lousy on an SAT, and all of a sudden Harvard ain't looking at you anymore, or any other school that you might want to go to. Harvard may not be the best choice these days, I got to tell you. Okay, having a little troubles of their own over there. Okay?
Sure.
And, right. And what can I say? So talk to me about this, okay? And by the way, the road from where did you teach? Were you teaching in Georgia? In Atlanta?
I was actually I taught 20 years in Atlanta, and I taught a year in Denver, Colorado, actually. And
oh, wow.
I was frustrated. So I do know what snow is. I've seen it.
Yes, you do.
It's not the same stuff in Maine, for sure. It's more the powdery, fluffy stuff that you can sweep away pretty easily. But I got frustrated over the years with seeing kids exactly what you said, Larry. They're doing great in school, and then they don't do well on this test, and suddenly they don't get into college or the college they want, or they don't get the scholarship they want.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I started looking into these programs and wondering why does a kid go to Princeton Review or Varsity Tutors or pay all this money for this test prep and it doesn't help them. And that's because I see there's two kinds of test prep that I see a lot of. There's test prep that's the in-house kind where you have a lot of people sometimes not quite qualified to be doing it, and then you have test prep where you've got a lot of kids who are right out of college who have made these extraordinary scores on the SAT, but they don't know how to teach it. They don't know why when they present it to a kid, why doesn't this kid get it? I mean, I understand it. I presented it. I taught it. Well, you know, you didn't teach it. You just presented it.
That's right.
And there's all sorts of kids that function at different I won't say different levels, but they function with different capacities and different ideas and different strengths and that sort of thing. So what I've developed over time and why it's successful is this program that differentiates. And we scaffold based on best practices that are being used by most teachers today. They're just not being used in the testing industry very much. So that's what differentiates us, if you will. So it's been a challenge to do that. It's been a lot of fun too, and we've had a lot of success. And so that's how I got into it.
Good. It's pretty cool. And are you working nationally? Can kids call you from anywhere? That's a good question. Who do you want to get in touch with you? Do you want schools to get in touch with you? Do you want individual parents to get in touch with you? Do you want kids to get how do you want this to work?
Yes.
Sure. Thank you very much.
They can all get in touch with me. Absolutely. I'll give you the number. It's 833-416. So as in 1600. So 833-726-7316. And I also do college consulting as well. And the last 2 years I've gone beyond just the SATs because with test optional, it's not just about the scores anymore. So, that's another trick I have up my sleeve, helping kids get
It's not a trick. It's a good thing because kids, you know, I speak mostly from, all the people I know and their kids. They go on all these college trips and the kids pick a school. A year later, they transfer the hell out, okay,
right.
Because it wasn't the right school for them. And that's an expensive error. And a huge error, as a matter of fact. I can't say enough. That's wrong with the whole system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you really do
Absolutely,
need college
yeah.
counseling. You really got to think about this more so than ever, okay? And I want to talk to you, Terry, if I may. And this is an important thing. You taught Atlanta. The equity aspect of SATs, okay? And there this has been an ongoing challenge for years, you know, and you wanted me to ask the question, do students from wealthy families have advantage on standardized tests? My opinion is yes, because they can more expensively prepare for it. Okay. Is it a fair criteria? The schools are different. Some of them are fabulous. Some of them are not so fabulous. Okay. And everybody's trying, but let's face it. Okay. We know that. Okay. And but the test is the test is the test, the SATs. Okay. And so my question, okay, when you look at all this and just go forward from an equity point of view, I can talk today, equity point of view. Okay. Talk about this. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So I guess the basic question is the SAT fair? And it sort of depends on what you mean by fair, because if we start with the fact that the SAT is a normed test, which means that the highest score is based on what the highest scoring test taker makes it. And to do a callback to one of your guests, Andrew Carlson, I'll talk about Andrew last week.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'll talk about little Larry and little Larry's clone.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Doing your homework. I appreciate it, Chief.
Sure. Larry. Yeah. So little
Larry,
let's say little Larry is a high, scoring test taker, and he is, awesome. And so the highest score in that test is not necessarily 100%. It's based on what, the highest, what little Larry is making on that. And then his clone, little Larry two, he makes a medium score. So he's right in the middle. So then the median, the 50th percentile is based on him. So with that in mind, the test is a contest, just like any other contest, just like a race. So is a race fair? Is any sort of a race fair? Well, if you have parents who have taught that kid to run since that kid was little, then it's going to be great for him or her, but maybe not so much for the other kids.
Yeah.
So what the real question is, how are colleges looking at the SAT? That's the real question.
Good point.
And the answer is, they look at it in different ways. It sort of depends. I think overall there is a little bit of equity here, and I'll explain why.
Go ahead.
Colleges do take into account, for instance, that my son or daughter went to a school that was in a very rural area with very few opportunities, and the average SAT score in that school was an 870, let's say. And so when my kid gets a 1200 on the SAT, it means something very different than the kid who was raised in a different environment, went to a different school where the average SAT score was about an 1100. So colleges do take that into account. However, what I will say about that is that it's incumbent upon the kid and his parents to make the school the college is aware of that, because even though school counselors are supposed to give a school profile, they sometimes leave things out or they sometimes don't make it clear. And if I'm at the University of Georgia and I'm looking at a school in Georgia, I'm going to know that school probably. But if I'm at the University of Washington in admissions and I've got some kid from a rural school in Georgia applying, I'm probably not going to know that school. And so I need as much information about that school, and it's incumbent upon the parents and the kids to make sure that the university they're applying to is familiar with the average SAT score in that school, knows what the school profile is like. So with that in mind, what the SAT then, and the ACT for that matter, the standardized test, they give a bit of criteria here that allows the school to compare that kid to other kids at that same school, or other schools that have that same profile. So in that sense, there is some equity there, and it can help a kid who otherwise might not, we don't know about this kid. We don't know if this kid stands out. How can we know if this kid is going to be able to do the work at our school? So I think it does serve
that purpose.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. And, and a lot of that, a lot of that is, even if the school I won't say this the right way, even if the school admissions officer is taking all that into consideration, that never filters down to the professors. The kids come into college with different backgrounds. All right. And they're going to have success. You know, the professor's expectations are one thing, regardless of the 12 kids, 15 kids in the classroom. Okay. But they're coming in from 15 different places. Okay. It's very, very, it's a difficult thing. And what you said before about college counseling, it's very important to take these things into consideration about where you go. And what I always say, you want to succeed in college. I always say this to people, you know, stay local at the beginning, even community college, get used to it for a year and then go off into the big wide world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that to me is a lot easier way. And I think you'll see better results, et cetera. What do you think of the equity thing though, of the SATs and ACTs? What are you finding with that?
So,
let me ask a deeper question. How does Astounding Score, your company, deal with that? Okay, you mm-hmm. teach kids, you're going to work with kids who are from that small, rural, under-resourced school or urban under-resourced school, and you're also going to work with kids who are from a wealthy suburb. Okay, do you teach them the same way on the SATs? You talk about what you do regarding that.
Yeah, so that's a great point, because you don't teach every kid the same way. And that, so
exactly.
What I do is scaffolding, which is something that a lot of teachers are familiar with, which mm-hmm. is not an easy thing to do. So if I'm in a classroom, for instance, a physical classroom with kids, then I'm going to have different expectations for different kids based on several things, based on what the expectation of the parent and kid is for that score, because quite honestly, there are certain kids who they're not looking to get to improve their score by 100 points. They're just not. They want a 50-point increase so they can get this scholarship or they can get into this particular university that has a minimum score that they're looking for. And then you have the kid who is going for the National Merit Scholarship. And so the expectations are different. The assignments will be different. And the grouping within the classroom will be different. And even if I'm doing this online, I have breakout rooms online where certain students work with each other, and then I get in there and work with those students and see how they're doing. So that's how that works. And it's a little bit different. We get some fantastic results, which is not that every kid gets a 1400 or 1500 or 1560 or whatever, but that the kids make the progress and the leaps and bounds that they're looking to make.
And how does your tutoring work? Yeah. Does it work? Do you go see the kids in person? Do you work online with them? Is there a set program? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we have classes that I'll do in-person classes. I'll do virtual classes as well. I'm developing an asynchronous program, so kids who are really they don't want to deal with a teacher. They just want to do it on their own. and then, of course, I do private tutoring as well. So we work with those, and they work in combination, because one of the programs I have is you go through the course first, and that can be asynchronous. You can go through the videos of the course if you're looking for that high score. There's a certain number of sessions that we set up with the parents for that. And I have also other videos on particular subjects that I work with kids, PowerPoints, all sorts of other test materials. And right now I'm writing a book with a gal who worked for ETS for 10 years, and she wrote SAT test questions. So she knows the SAT inside and out, and it's just been fantastic working with her. So this is
when will the book be out?
We're looking for we'll try to get it out by summertime. I'm not sure if that's going to be that may be a little ambitious, but we're going to try to have it out by June 1st. So that's our goal.
Well, I hope you did. You have a name for it yet?
Like
The Godfather Part 6?
Sure,
I mean, well, you know, what's the name of the God that becomes a bestseller?
Well, I had a friend of mine once ask me, are there any drums in it? Because I'm a drummer. And I said, well, there's no drums in it. And he said, well, are there trumpets in it? He said, are there any trumpets in it? I said, no trumpets. He said, well, why don't you call it Without Drums and Trumpets? And I don't think that's going to, I don't think anyone's going to know what that book is about. And he said, well, that's the truth with about half of the books out there. I said, yeah, probably right about that.
And most of the questions on the SAT, from my point of view, to tell you the truth. Okay, I don't know what they're about either, for goodness sakes, you know? And, you know, you've written, I just want to go over this with you before we wind down here, but you did some published research on all this, okay? And I love the fact you were an SAT, a social studies teacher, okay? All right? Mm-hmm. And I want you to apply that, okay? You did critical research on this. You learned from all this. You're a social studies teacher. It's all math and English. I just want to say, what was the evolution of that?
It's kind of strange because I was in high school, I wanted to be an engineer. I wanted to be an electrical engineer. And at the same time, I won the state essay writing contest, the impromptu writing contest. So I was a good writer as well. And so when
everything
I was applying
but social
to
studies.
Colleges.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I enjoyed social studies.
Yeah.
That was really,
I think
that was kind of a love for me since I was about 11 years old. When I was applying to colleges, I was really looking at Georgia Tech because I was in Atlanta. I had someone said, so what are you going to do when you change your major? And I said to myself, well, I guess I maybe should look at some other options. I ended up going to Duke for undergrad for electrical engineering, and I realized that pretty soon that engineering, I didn't love it like I thought I would, and it really hated me. So I had to get out of there as quickly as I could. I went to the dean, and he said, you know, I got to be honest with you, Harlan. I'm pretty surprised that you've stayed in it as long as you have based on your desire and your grades. And see, I was in the half of the class that made the upper half possible. So he looked at me and he said, why did you stay in it this long? And I said, well, we engineers get free donuts on Wednesdays and we get free kegs on Fridays. And he said, well, I don't know if that's enough of a reason to base your career off of. I said, where do I sign to get out of here?
This is so really interesting.
So
it's a great background.
So I went with my first love, which was history, but I still have that math and English background. So that's how I kind of got into doing that. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Terry. This is great. AstoundingScore.com. I got it linked up here, everybody. Terry, thank you. Enjoy Phoenix, my friend.
Absolutely, and come down anytime. We'll make a place for you. All right,
I appreciate it, my
thanks,
friend.
Larry.
Thank you. Have a good one. Okay, thanks.
You as well. Take care.
You too. Bye bye. Wow, good stuff. An interesting guy, Terry Harlan, AstoundingScore.com. I got it linked here. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. Have a good day.